Warren Buffett, BlackRock, and other institutional players dominate investments in commercial aviation. Why? Because it's one of the most profitable and predictable alternative assets that exists. And it's not tied to other markets, such as real estate and the stock market. Is it safe? Well, imagine triple net leases to the likes of American Airlines and British Airways. Income is contractual and guaranteed by some of the biggest named airlines in the world. That's why this kind of investment was never available to the ordinary accredited investor. That is until now. Visit accesswealthaviation.com and check it out for yourself. Invest in an institutional team with over 200 plus years of combined investment experience in the aviation sector. Conservative investing with double-digit returns and tax advantages. That's accesswealthaviation.com. accesswealthaviation.com.
You are listening to the Wealth Formula Podcast with Buck Joffrey. Get ready to change your life.
Welcome, everybody. This is Buck Joffrey with the Wealth Formula Podcast, coming to you here from Santa Barbara, California, in the middle of pandemic 2020. And boy, the Twilight Zone just doesn't seem to end, does it? Yeah, it has been sort of an ongoing thing. It seemed like for a while, it seemed like we were making some real progress, and all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but it just seems like we're kind of in limbo now. And man, I'll tell you, it has been a challenge. And notwithstanding, my hair is so crazy right now; it's so long, and you might be like me and feeling like you have to make some sort of statement about the situation and letting your hair grow out. And your beard grow out. So I've got like this incredible amount of beard growth right now. If you're watching me on YouTube, you can see that. And, you know, my beard is all white. It's kind of funny, but it's been that way since I was in my early 30s. So it's not really a sign of aging, I don't think. I mean, I am 46, so I am aging. But yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing that you probably have your own thing right now, and I'm curious. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you're doing as sort of an entertain yourself type of thing during these days. Listen, before we get started, I do want to remind you that there is something called wealthformula.com. Wealthformula.com is the website at which this podcast exists, right? It's home base. And there's lots of resources there, including, you know, options for free stuff, like free books from George Newberry, for example, who's our guest today. He has a book called Burn Zones. And George isn't a cheapskate like me. I just give you downloads. But if you fill out the form there on wealthformula.com, he'll send you a real book. In addition to that, make sure that you, if you have not generally consider signing up for some of the things that we have on the site. You know, obviously just getting on the list, the email list is a good idea to, you know, get access to potential opportunities or additional information. If you are an accredited investor, make sure to sign up for Wealth Formula's Investor Club. This is an incredibly valuable thing for those of you who are looking to take this information that you're getting from here and from others and actually trying to put it into action rather than being on the sidelines. Now, that this is going to be really important in the next several months, as I think we're going to see some of the best buying opportunities that we have seen in, you know, at least in 10 years. So check that out, wealthformula.com. And hopefully you can get more engaged with our community that way. So as for today's show, you know, it's got George Newberry back on. George has been on several times, so you may know him if you're a listener. You also may know that I am a big fan of George Newberry. He's not only a friend, but I really think he's one of the smartest entrepreneurs I know personally. Now, George deals with notes. Non-performing notes. So let's just, you know, let's, for simplicity, let's just discuss what they are, because I know there's new listeners all the time and you may not know what a note is. Well, it's just basically a mortgage, right? So you, when you take out a mortgage, you owe the lender money. And when that lender owns that mortgage, he or she can then basically just sell it, right? You can sell that mortgage to another, another person, another, you know, entity, whatever, and then that note becomes transferred to that person. Now, notes can be performing or not performing. Obviously, performing is means that it's just, you know, it's being paid on time all the time. And non-performing, there are notes that are having some kind of trouble paying, or maybe they've had trouble in the past. So if you buy one of those, it becomes a little bit more complicated, right? Then you sort of get into these forks where you can, you know, you buy something where no one's paying the mortgage. You can do a few things. You could, you know, pay them a certain amount of money and maybe they'll move out. You could potentially foreclose on a property and sell the asset, or in a best case scenario, negotiate a payment that, a person can afford, a family can afford, and let them stay in their home. And that last option, of course, is a win-win situation and is really the focus of George's fund at AHP Servicing. Bottom line is that in principle, this whole note business, it's really not that hard. And if you've gone through the, you know, sequence of hundreds of episodes we've had now, you've heard me talking about this. I like this business. And in fact, I liked it so much. I was like, you know what? I want to learn this business. And I flew out to Chicago and I tried to learn from George's team out there. But as often is the case, the devil is in the details. And I found out the hard way that when I tried to learn the note business myself, it was actually pretty complicated. And it's a new venture. It was something that I really wasn't willing to put in the time to become an expert at. As it turns out, this is not something, in my opinion, I know some of you might do this, but it's something that's really hard to do as a part-time gig and make it, you know, worth its while, at least not at the level that I found personally acceptable. Now, you know, my philosophy in general is that if it's not something that you can make, you know, you can scale up to $1 million a year pretty quickly, it's just not really worth even starting, right? If you're working a lot and you're just taking up a lot of time, it's probably not worth doing it. Just invest with somebody else who knows what they're doing and get rid of the curve. That's basically what I came up with when I tried to go down this road. The bottom line is I think that to do really well consistently in the note business requires volume, creativity, and a ton of experience. And as we sit here in the middle of a black swan public health and financial event, I got to say, I am just glad I realized my limitations and didn't complicate my life anymore, because I would just add one more headache, right? One of the great lessons that I've learned with age, especially over the last, 10, 12 years when I became, I wasn't a hostage at a hospital, but was actually, trying to navigate this world of entrepreneurship and investing, is that often the best thing you can do is nothing at all. You know, when I was younger, I used to chase after shiny objects. I wasn't focused at all. And doing that, lost me a lot of money in certain circumstances. Maybe I learned a lot, but it, the problem with chasing shiny objects is that it becomes really difficult to become good at anything. And if I have a bit of advice for anyone going down the entrepreneurial route for the first time, it is to really try to stay in your lane and focus, because you can't be the best in the world at everything. And if you try, you won't be very good at anything at all. So as investors, though, as particularly as passive investors, our most important skill set is often really to pick the best jockey, find the right, person, the operator, et cetera. And, we may not be doing the heavy lifting in situations like that, but we need to know who will do it well on our behalf, and also who's going to keep us safe when times are, tricky like they are right now. And this is a very different skill set than being an actual operator. They are completely different. So, if you think you're good at one and you're going to become good at the other automatically because of that, I don't think that that's probably true. Now, when it comes to notes, there really is only one guy I trust, and that's the honest truth. His name is George Newberry. George is as smart as a whip, and, he has a lot of scar tissue from the past to help him navigate the current crisis, which I think is absolutely invaluable. Absolutely invaluable. I mean, you can see right now who's terrified, who's kind of sitting there saying, I've seen this, you know, I've seen this happen. Maybe not this happen, but seen something similar happen before, and here's how it typically works. George is that guy, and you can bring a lot of calm to a situation that seems so volatile. So on this week's Wealth Formula podcast, George and I had a very, very good conversation, not only about the note market, but residential real estate in general. And if you're curious about, you know, what someone who lived through 2008, you know, has taken some beatings and come out, you know, doing really well, you will not want to miss today's interview, which we will do after these messages. Worried about saving too little too late for retirement? The Wealth Accelerator may be exactly what you need. With the help of some of the oldest and most reliable insurance companies in the country, Wealth Accelerator allows you to take most of the upside of any good year in the stock market and use bank loans to magnify those returns significantly. And what if the stock market has a bad year? No need to fear. Wealth Accelerator is engineered so you don't participate in the losses of the market, no matter how bad of a year it is. Sounds too good to be true, right? But it's not. It's simply the same financial engineering that the ultra wealthy have been doing for years. Now it's your turn. Check it out for yourself by going to wealthformulabanking.com. Again, that's wealthformulabanking.com. Self-storage is a necessary evil. It's where you keep your stuff and forget about it. No wonder this stuff is so profitable and recession-resistant. The Wealth Formula community, well, we've benefited from that. We've made lots of money in this space with Reliant Real Estate, one of the largest self-storage companies in the country. With an average investor internal rate of return of almost 34%, with hold times just over 3.5 years, these guys know what the meaning of velocity of money is. If you're an accredited investor, make sure to check out what they're up to right now at ReliantFund4.com. Again, that's ReliantFund4.com. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, my guest on Wealth Formula Podcast. Well, gosh, he is the guy who's been on the show more than anybody else. Longtime friend, great businessman, George Newberry. He is the founder and the CEO of AHP Servicing, which is a company that has it services non-performing notes, but it also has a fund, which many people have invested in. He is a longtime sponsor of this show as well. George, welcome back.
Thanks, Buck. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so
I think I'm setting a record here.
You're definitely setting a record. You're on here more than anybody else. So that's great, though. We always enjoy it. So, you know, as you know, even though you've been on a bunch of times, we have a constantly growing audience, right? We have, and you actually, believe it or not, I didn't tell you this back in the day, but, you know, you started advertising before anybody was listening.
Wait, you took those checks?
But I'll tell you what, I think, you know, it's turned out to be pretty good deal for you over time, because now we have a nice audience. We had a lot of people invest with you, and I'm, you know, very supportive of what you're doing. But what I wanted to do, knowing that there's always new people on, is first and foremost, we are educational, right? So we don't want to start talking about something when we don't have a context for it. Tell me about AHP Servicing. Let's start with a basic concept, just quick review. What is a note? And what is a non-performing note? And what, in that context, what is AHP Servicing doing?
Sure. So many in your audience probably have or have had a mortgage at some point, which is secured by, which is a security for a note. And so when you buy a home, oftentimes you're taking out a loan from a bank or somebody else like that, and you're signing a note and you're signing the mortgage. The note will be the document that includes all the terms. You know, I agree to pay $100,000 back at, you know, 7% interest in 30 years. At this amount of monthly payment. And when those are not paid is creates a non-performing note. And that's what we specialize, is when people are having trouble paying their mortgage. Sometimes lenders will sell those to us, or they will ask us to service those on their behalf. And so that's, and servicing is simply, there's in almost all transactions, all mortgages, there's the investor who actually owns the mortgage, which could be some massive Wall Street fund, could also be an individual. And there's usually a servicer in the middle, which actually collects the payments. And in our case, there's we're regulated by the different states. We've actually gotten licensed in every state of the union except for New York. We've gotten licensed in Puerto Rico and District of Columbia. So we can service loans almost everywhere. In New York, we're very close to getting that license. And we just got California a few weeks ago, which is great. Those are the long-term ones were California and New York, the ones that took the longest. So each of those state regulators regulates mortgage servicers in there who are servicing mortgages in their state. And that is the collection of these payments. So we'll collect, you know, $500 from a homeowner. We'll take out a fee, call it $25 or $50, depending on the status of the loan. And then we'll forward on the difference to the investor. And then if things like a foreclosure or bankruptcy or other types of challenges today, it would be forbearances, any of those things are needed, then the one that carries out that function typically is the mortgage servicer.
So when you have I'm going to try to simplify this a little bit more. So you have somebody who is unable to pay a mortgage, and you have, you know, this distressed asset, and then the lender ends up selling it to you. You, as an investor, have a few different, you know, options. One is, well, you could just go and, you know, you could just foreclose on the person and then sell the asset. That's probably what, you know, the big banks and stuff are typically going to do. Another option, which you guys tend to focus on, is is basically to renegotiate that mortgage, maybe forgive, you know, what's due in the past. And because you've bought at such a discount, you can therefore make a profit by allowing somebody to stay in their home but pay a lot less to do so. Am I missing any options there?
No, I think you got it. The other way is when the homeowner doesn't want the home anymore, is already moved out. And in those cases, we'll typically give them maybe $1,000. They sign the property to us, and then we sell the home.
Yeah. So those are basically the three things. So around this, beyond the servicing business, I think what you guys have been known certainly to our ecosystem, the Wealth Formula ecosystem, is a fund. And it's these funds where essentially what you're trying to do is, you know, acquire substantial amounts of these notes. And because you have a volume of them, you're kind of playing the numbers a little bit that, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, make a significant profit because you're buying at these so cheap and you're buying so many of them. So in a nutshell, that's kind of, you know, that, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is the idea behind, one of your AHP funds.
Absolutely right.
So now, given that context, and I just wanted to make sure that people understood so they weren't confused about the rest of this conversation. Let's talk about right now. Okay. People, right now in the middle of this pandemic, craziness. I mean, literally, you know, we talk about unemployment right now, for all intents and purposes, we've got probably about 90% unemployment, right? I mean, it's not, you can't even count it because everybody's required to stay home. So people who never missed a mortgage payment are going to do so because pretty much everyone is, like I said, is pretty much unemployed, right? And if we're starting with people who've had problems paying their mortgage before, the non-performers, as we'll call them, how is that affecting payments in your fund now?
Sure. So we definitely had people that were made their March payment and are unable to pay their April payment. And they're calling in saying that they want to do a forbearance, that they, you know, especially on the news, everybody, the federally backed mortgages, they're offering, I think, a 2 or 4 month forbearance routinely. And so we're offering a 2 month forbearance to anybody who was up to date or not more than 90 days behind at the beginning of this month. And so then it's easy because it's easy to make that determination because that shows that they were making their payments, and then all of a sudden their income is interrupted, you know, due to this crisis. And hopefully, you know, 2 months go by and a couple things, either they get back to work, they get stimulus money, and or, you know, their unemployment kicks in. Some people who are unemployed right now are having a tough time getting unemployment because it's, you know, the system is so overwhelmed with the quest. So we hope that will, you know, we hope for most it's a temporary situation, but the reality is, you know, they come back and, hey, these stay-at-home orders are lifted and they may not have any job to go back to. I mean, some of these, a lot of companies will not make, are not making it through. You've already seen some major bankruptcies and mass layoffs. And I think that we'll probably see more of those over the next few weeks until this turns. And what's extraordinary about the situation is, I think, twofold. One is it happened so fast, because 2 months ago, for most people, life was fairly normal.
Totally normal.
In the last 5 weeks, it's just turned upside down for almost everybody has been, I don't think any American or any person on this globe, on this world has not been impacted in one way or another. And, so that's, you know, that massive shift, is extraordinary. And, you know, some people forecast that it's all temporary. There's going to be the economy is going to snap back, you know, as soon as these orders are lifted and things get back to normal. But I think that's maybe optimistic, and we'll see what really happens.
Very optimistic, right? I mean, listen, you know, I've talked about this on this show before. I think that when you look at neither one of us are stock market guys, right? We're not equity market players, but you look at the Dow Jones Industrial. I've been watching it sort of driving by a wreckage or something like that, you know, just trying to understand what's going on there. And I still can't believe it's still hanging in there, because what you and me see as business people is like, okay, you've had to probably furlough a bunch of people, and you understand what's happening to businesses around you, and you've got people who've got notes that you know, they're not able to pay on. You understand the extent of this, and to the idea that we're just going to slingshot back into you know, a booming economy is just absolutely dumbfounding to me. And but I think that's what people are thinking. So let's say
people are hoping that.
I think they are, and I think they're just not getting the reality of what's going on. I've described this as an earthquake, and we haven't even seen the tsunami, which really causes the substantial economic fallout. But if we're so let's talk about that fund, because, you know, obviously we have a lot of investors in there and they're getting lots of questions. So what are you going to do to, you know, at least in the next few months? I mean, presumably, you know, these stay at home orders, et cetera, are going to soften in the summer, and, you know, you'll see people getting back to work. But during that period of time, how is that affecting the fund? What are you doing to mitigate the damage? What should people be looking at during that time?
Sure. So bear in mind, we're servicers. So we have, you know, in our current fund, there's two primary sources of revenue. One is servicing mortgages. We service mortgages that we own. We also service mortgages for dozens of third parties that service with us, and we earn fees on that. So regardless of the performance of those mortgages, we're earning fees. And then the other part is we buy mortgages and earn revenue from there. The servicing side of our business has seen a surge of interest from larger funds over the last 30 days. And there's a couple reasons. One is funds are anticipating a deluge of non-performing loans. And so they are setting themselves up. In fact, there's new funds, capital providers that had different strategies. Let's say they were funding fix and flips. Now they're saying that's no longer a viable opportunity for them. Now they're moving to non-performing loans, and I shouldn't say viable, but preferred. And they're moving to non-performing mortgages, and that's where they see the scale. And so I see we're under contract right now with three major funds, or we're in the contract stage with three major funds, and we have four others that we're discussing. We haven't yet got to the point of doing contracts. But our goal is to sign up 20 funds by the end of June. And the reason this is happening now is we've moved, as of Monday, we'll be on Black Knight technology, which Black Knight is used by the biggest mortgage servicers in our country. And we went with a more modest size system up until now. We've, over the last 7-8 months, we've been working on this transition, and it was supposed to go live a couple of days ago. And actually, the way it's working out, it's going to go live this upcoming Monday. That makes us attractive to larger, larger clients. And then the other part is waiting on getting these, all these servicing licenses. And we did get California, which is a big, big step forward. I need New York, and then I can, we can service everywhere. So we've become an attractive, option for funds, and that will generate, I think that will generate a lot of revenue regardless of, you know, our investments, which we think, that the exposure we have currently to the market is the loans that we purchase. In all likelihood, there's been a drop in value over the last 30 days. However, and I should, there's been a drop in value in the homes that secure those mortgages. But bear in mind that the vast majority of the mortgages that we purchase and continue to purchase are secured by homes in low to moderate income neighborhoods with values of, call it $50,000. So if you have a, it's usually $40,000 to $50,000. So you have a mortgage secured, a mortgage of $100,000 secured by a home worth $50,000, and we paid $20,000 or $25,000 for it. The chances are that that home, you know, may go down 10%, 20%. It still goes from $50,000 to $45,000 or $40,000. It's still well above what we paid for the mortgage, and still in this range of homes where they didn't have the mass appreciation. You know, in contrast to high value homes. Let's say you're in California. So California has a significant appreciation over the last 10 years. And in all likelihood, those homes that appreciated, they're now going to give some of that back as they depreciate over the next, as a result of this crisis. It's just inevitable. The more, you know, the more they rise, the more they fall. And these lower value homes rose very on a very limited basis. And I think they'll drop over a very limited basis. And the reality is, many of those homeowners, you know, the mortgage payment is $400, $500, $600, payments that are equal or less than rent. So, you know, the question becomes, hey, my home went from 50 to 40.
Right.
Does that even matter when I'm paying $500 a month and that's cheaper than rent? And so I don't think the values are going to have as much of an impact as, you know, obviously their ability
well,
to pay.
The goal of the fund is cash flow anyway, right? I mean, it's really it sort of doesn't matter what the value of the assets are in some regards. But that being said, you've got a couple months here where, I mean, gosh, again, you may not be collecting very much at all. And it sounds like, you know, you've got the infrastructure to, you know, to handle that as a company. So that's not really too much of a concern. But from an investor standpoint, some of the, you know, real benefits or the attractiveness has been related to, you know, the regularity of the dividends that are paid every month. Also, liquidity. I mean, I would think, and I have no idea that that it might be harder for you to offer the liquidity. And maybe you may want to kind of back up and explain, you know, what those benefits I'm talking about are and how those may be affected in the, I guess, near term, right? The next 3 months or so.
Sure. So liquidity feature is actually something that Buck started with us years ago. And you came up with a situation where you said, hey, I just sold an investment property. I have a bunch of money in the bank. I want to invest it with you because it's not earning hardly anything in the bank. But if I find a great deal, I'm going to need it back. And so we agreed to do that on a one-off basis for you. But then all the future funds after that, we said, hey, we'll offer this to everybody. And so how it works is that when you invest in AHP, you can request a redemption at any time. And whether it's, you know, after a month, after a year, after 3 years, you can request a redemption and we will undertake our best efforts to redeem the funds within 30 days. And sometimes people have called us and said, hey, I need the money for a closing in 5 days. And historically we've been able to accommodate those in most cases. But if our documents provide that in the case we're unable to redeem within 30 days, then we simply just redeem in the order that they were received. So if a distribution was received on, you know, 10 days ago, that's going to be paid before one that was received today. Mm-hmm. And in March, we had more redemption requests than we have had in our history by far. And people were calling in saying, I need to make payroll. I'm a small business owner and my business shut down and all these different things. I have margin calls, you know, when the stock market was crashing in mid-March, all those things hit at once. And we had more, again, more redemption requests than ever. So we are over 30 days right now. We are redeeming in the order received. And the redemption requests we have outstanding right now, we're expecting that we'll have them all redeemed by the end of May. It doesn't, and then barring another extraordinary circumstance, we have had, and there are redemption requests that are being processed this week. And I think they'll be processed every week until we're caught up. And so I think it will take longer than expected. I think right now we're thinking 60 days on average for if someone were to request it right now, we'd suggest it's going to be more like 60 than 30. But we are still processing those. And that will be, you know, we'll continue to do that. And the anticipation at some point it gets back to 30 days. I mean, let me step back, it's not just homeowners unable to pay their money, but unable to pay their monthly payments. That's certainly going to be a contributing factor. But also, we sell REOs every month. We're selling REOs. You know, we've ended up homeowners giving us a deed in lieu, or we foreclosed on a property, and we are, you know, in some cases right now, we're trying to sell the REO. We have a buyer that's ready to buy it, and the county recorder is closed, and we can't record the deed.
Crazy.
And that's so that's just delaying that. We also have homes that are most states we can still foreclose on a vacant home. So we're going to foreclosure on vacant homes, but if they're occupied and they haven't paid in 3 years, and maybe even the homeowner's deceased, but there's some relative that's still living there, we can't complete that foreclosure today in some states. And we're having, so there's going to be a delay in things that we were expecting to generate revenue. We'll probably still do it. It's just on a delayed basis. So that is an impact. And, you know, the longer this goes, the more of an impact it could have. Again, though, I think overall we're bullish on the future of AHP. And I think in particular, the fee income, you know, should offset all of the, it should offset this to some degree and help, help us get through it in a, strongly.
It's basically a 10% annualized return. You get monthly checks, or you can reinvest. Do you see any, are you concerned at all about not being able to, or not wanting to? I mean, listen, again, you know, in our multifamily strategies, we remarkably in April across our portfolio are projecting that we're not going to be a whole lot different than we were in March, which is remarkable, right? But even that being said, May will probably be harder on us. And I think the idea for us is that distributions at this point don't make any sense because it, you know, you could, you know, stay as capitalized as you can. Are you looking at it that way at all? Or do you expect that those, you know, that you're going to continue to make dividend payments over the next couple months here?
We're optimistic that we'll, the way things stand now, we'd expect that we continue to make distributions. And we realize there's all kinds of investment opportunities that are not, you know, some crowdfunding platforms have suspended redemptions, suspended distributions. And we understand that. We also look at what they're invested in. Many of them invested in fix and flip loans, which they've had a surge of defaults. In fact, we're talking to some funds about bringing those defaulted fix and flip loans to us to service. Also commercial property or hospitality. You know, some of these funds that were buying in, buying strip malls or office buildings or hotels, I mean, those have just been there's much greater investment in single assets that probably had a history of performing great. And now they're just, those office tenants are asking for abatements because they're not even using the office. Most of them are working from home. So I see massive, I see challenges all around, but I think in many regards, we're in better shape than most.
What's what I always think when situations like these, you know, it's like you kind of get to see who, as time passes by, we'll start to see who's swimming naked, right? In terms of their abilities and or, you know, what they're really doing. And I've always been really impressed with your acumen, you know, as an entrepreneur and as a business guy. So I look at this and I'm sure you have besides, you know, playing defense and thinking to yourself, well, gosh, what kind of opportunities are we going to have here and when? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, this is absolutely, we're playing offense. I mean, there's a little bit of defense, but it's offense. That's what I always seem to play. The thing about this, for the last 3 years, we kept building the servicer thinking, we're building this in anticipation because we want to be prepared for the next downturn. Now that downturn is here. And so now we need to execute and get this other servicing business, purchase loans. But I don't see that, I don't think, people are just missing their April payments in most cases, and it's on a forbearance plan. They'll probably be forbearance covering May, maybe even June and July. People are getting 2 to 4 months forbearances in most servicers. What's going to happen, though, is in 6 months, then you'll start, okay, they were on a forbearance expired, and now they're not able to pay, and those will be the default mortgages. And that crush, I anticipate it won't happen till the fourth quarter of this year. Yeah. You'll start seeing just a massive supply of defaulted loans. And I mean, you can look at it a couple ways of opportunity to buy loans at big discounts and also opportunities to help families. And in our case, it would be to do both. But that's not happening today. I mean, there's been, we're closing a trade next week that actually we're working on since January, and the price is going to be significantly adjusted because of what happened, and the seller understands that. So we still will have trades that continue on during that period, but the massive supply and this kind of anticipated deluge, you know, I don't think we're going to see that till late this year.
That's kind of, it's interesting that you said that, George, because I'll just point out that George and I have not discussed our outlooks on this, but I have been pounding the Q4 table myself. I mean, I think that's when the tsunami hits, right? That's when the safety nets go away, and presumably, Q4, Q1 of next year, I think that's when you really start seeing distressed asset sales. And so What we're bottom line is that what you're looking at now is the damage, and you know, you are, as many as Warren Buffett said, you're being greedy when others are scared, right? And that's the idea. I'm curious, George, in terms of understanding the outcome, what happens in Q4, what happens in Q1 of next year. How do you think it's going to look different when it compares to, say, what happened in 2008? When, I mean, you started AHP, American Homeowner Preservation, at that, shortly after that. How do you think it's going to look different, and why?
I think it will be. So let me not say that it's just my opinion. We've looked at some statistics. The statistics state that, and this is about from a month ago, there were projections of how it was an analysis of how unemployment translates to mortgage delinquencies. And, you know, I think our Treasury Secretary anticipated 20% unemployment and what that would do. The Federal Reserve Bank of the branch in St. Louis, they put out something saying, hey, we expect this to get to 30% unemployment. So the analysis, so that if we hit 30% unemployment, it would be roughly 10 million homeowners who are defaulted on their mortgages, and that would be greater than 2008, than the Great Recession. So I think we're going to see a situation that's worse than 2008, which for years people are saying, hey, there'll probably be some adjustment. You know, we all were talking about this is a long, hot market that's been going on for a long time. At some point, there's going to be a downturn, and people are saying, oh, there'll be a mild adjustment. There'll never be something like 2008 again. And here it is. We're actually we're at 18% unemployment as of last Thursday. New numbers come out tomorrow, which will probably put it over 20%. I mean, we're on track to hit that 30%, and 30% will result in a situation in our economy that's worse than 2008. And even more extraordinary is it's happened so fast. 2008 was drawn out over an extended period of time. This has happened in just an accelerated, extraordinary fashion, which I think the impact is so unknown. And back then, you know, business was still, a lot of people and a lot of businesses were impacted, but it was slow motion compared to today. And everything was pretty much still open. Here, all these businesses are closed. Some are going to reopen, some are never going to reopen, and some are going to reopen and then not be able to keep going. So it's going to be, I think it's really unpredictable right now. And I think you have to look at, you know, take a conservative view, which is going to be things are going to be pretty bad for a while.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And again, you know, they say 18% unemployment right now. Who knows where they're getting that number? I mean, nobody,
that's actual claims. Some people can't even file.
They can't even get through. Right. Yeah, I mean, you watch, I was watching 60 Minutes and there was like showing somebody trying to call in New York and they, you know, been trying to file for unemployment for a week and they can't even get through. I mean, when you think about the real numbers right now, everybody's sitting at home, you know, almost everybody's sitting at home and effectively they're all sort of unemployed. I mean, maybe they're getting carried for a while because of the, you know, the bailout money that's coming. But as you've said, and I think the real effects of this, you know, what is it? 50% of our country is employed by small business, like real small business, right? And they're the ones who really struggled getting this money. And this, what does this money do anyway? I mean, it's just covering payroll for, you know, a couple months, and it doesn't take into account at all of the, you know, costs that are going to take to sort of restart up. And then, you know, the other thing is that people aren't going to go back to spending right away. So I think that I agree with you and you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I think that this is a messy situation. And, you know, I mean, I think 20% unemployment in the fall is not at all unlikely. Let me ask you this. With a potential feeding frenzy of positive opportunities, and you being a guy who's been around the block a few times now, and you've taken, you know, taken a licking and kept on kicking. And, you know, and that makes me trust you more, right? Because you're not a guy who's just kind of, you know, had nothing but good. But when you see this potential opportunity, opportunities coming up in, say, August in the fall or winter or whatever, and you see people getting super excited, what do you tell people when they say, okay, well, you've been through this before. What should I be careful of, you know, when I start doing this? When I start buying stuff up, when I start thinking about taking advantage of all of this, you know, all these discounts.
Sure. So I think one thing, it's easy to say, hey, today I'm paying 80 and 2 months ago it was 100. So I'm getting a good deal. And it would have been 2 months ago if you paid 80 for it. But today, I think people need to use like prior trading prices or prior sales prices as a reference, but not take comfort in that. Because 100 2 months ago, 80 today, there's no reason it's not 60 in a couple of months and 40 at the end of the year. And I'm using just general numbers, not saying that's what it's going to be. But I mean, look at oil, for instance. There's massive changes going on. So I would think the risk is buying too early or paying too much, even though you're saying, hey, it's a great discount over what people have paid in the past. So I think patience will pay off here. And doesn't mean there'll be opportunities along the way, but I think there'll be modest sized little opportunities along the way, which we'll take advantage of. But the large scale transfer of wealth, this is when wealth gets transferred in this country, and there'll be some big winners and some big losers. That's going to happen late this year. And to be, make the right bets. And now the ones you're going to win, here's where the lack of predictability is what is in the, is helpful in this case, because when a market is fluid and predictable, then it's very easy for capital to come in and things to everything to be normal. People get scared. I mean, people obviously very fearful. And like you quoted Warren Buffett, but people are fearful today and they'll be fearful in 6 months. So people have money ready to pounce, but they're not sure. This looks like a good deal, but really, is it a good deal? And this is the best deal I can get. And not say you have to optimize every single deal, but you want to be, you definitely want to be very comfortable that you're getting the absolute best deal, because there will be more coming, and me and others, and I'm better at this today, but you always think, hey, this is the best deal. I got to take care of it today. Not thinking, not recognizing that, hey, there'll be another opportunity next month, another one the month after, and probably a whole bunch of them. So you can't get caught up in having to do this deal and not being ready to walk away if you can't meet the price that makes sense to you, not the seller.
So the old saying, I guess, goes, you know, don't ever try to catch a falling knife, right? I
mean, that's, yeah, exactly. It may have a long way to go.
So tell us, you know, tell us a little bit, just as a reminder, people are interested. I think you're in a potentially really good position to capitalize on this. There really is nobody better at this, in my opinion, than you. Tell us if you want to get involved, if somebody wants to get involved with AHP funding, tell us the dirty details. You don't have to be an accredited investor. You can invest as little as $100. What else?
Yeah, those are key things. Anyone can invest, accredited and non-accredited investors. Minimum investment, $100. So very easy to invest as little or as much as you want. You know, we can take $100. 100,000, a million, multiple millions, whatever you're comfortable with, we can accommodate. The investment is for a total of 5 years. It's 5 years from when you make your investment. It's our expectation is to return it at the end of 5 years. Could be earlier. And so as we use that money to build a servicer, to buy loans, you know, we'll continue to reinvest it until the 5 years, or you request it back early. We had to file all of our documents with the SEC there. You can go to our website or to the SEC's Edgar website to learn more about our offering. Our website is ahpservicing.com. So you can go there, you can invest. It just takes a few minutes. We've made it a very streamlined, easy process. And you can, so what else am I missing? The liquidity, we talked about that, but certainly, you know, the goal is to be able to redeem it, undertake our best efforts to redeem within 30 days. With the current situation, that may take longer. So be aware of that.
Returns 10%, right?
Returns 10%. If you do redeem early, if you redeem in the first year, return goes from 10 to 8, and the second year goes from 10 to 9.
Got it. So great opportunity to see what happens here in the note business. Over the next several months, and George will probably have you. I mean, we'd love to have you on probably in 6 months, and come back to some of these issues and see how they're progressing.
Yeah, see if things have gotten as bad or as if they've gone as bad as we're talking about, or maybe they've.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they've gone better for the countrywide. It's hopefully it's not as impactful as it seemed like it may be right now.
Got it. And again, how do you if you want to invest or you at least want to think about it? What's the website?
AHPservicing.com.
AHPservicing.com. George, thanks so much for being in Wealth Formula Podcast again.
All right. I appreciate it, Buck.
Be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. It's always fun to talk to George. Again, one of the smartest guys I know, phenomenal entrepreneur, and a guy I trust in this business, which is not an easy business, the note market. So definitely go and check out his, check out his fund if it makes sense. You don't have to be accredited. You can invest small amounts of money. I know some people have even had, you know, their children kind of dip their toes into the alternative asset space by doing that, which is kind of easy to do if you only have to spend $100. Anyway, before we go, I just want to remind you a couple things. First, go to wealthformula.com. And if you're an accredited investor, make sure you sign up for Investor Club because, you know, Q4, Q1, like we discussed on this show, I think we're going to have a lot of opportunities and you are going to want to definitely, you know, have yourself onboarded if you're an accredited investor with our investor group by then and, have an opportunity to potentially, get involved with some of the best opportunities we may see in a decade at least. Also, if you are sitting at home and you want to get involved with something else, I mean, I really encourage you to consider joining our Wealth Formula Network. This starts out with a course, and you see a lot of familiar names there. You'll see Tom Wheelwright, Ken McElroy, of Kiyosaki's real estate advisor and tax advisors, you'll see a bunch of individuals talking about real estate and asset protection and all of these things that make up the fundamentals of personal finance, at least in our alternative view of the world. And you can do that all by checking out the course at wealthformularoadmap.com. Now, that course is really just the beginning, because what people have found in terms of value has been, well, the course is great, and it gives you sort of a way to have a basic knowledge of everything that's being talked about. But the interactions within the Wealth Formula Network community vis-a-vis our Facebook group and then our biweekly Zoom video calls is a great way to, get some additional benefit and try to learn as quickly as possible if you're starting to get the itch in this alternative investing space. So anyway, check it out. Once again, it's at wealthformularoadmap.com. That's it for me this week on Wealth Formula Podcast. This is Buck Joffrey signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Formula Podcast. Visit us on the web at wealthformula.com. The information contained in this podcast are opinions, not fact. As always, consult your own financial team before making any investment. See you next time.
Buck Joffrey here from Sapio with Buck Joffrey. Aging might become reversible over the next 10 to 20 years. It's already being done in lab animals, so it's just a matter of time. Our challenge? To be healthy enough for when that time comes. As a former scientist and surgeon myself, my goal is to figure out how to do that and to share it with you. I wrote a book called Living Longer for Busy People that you can download for free at sapiopodcast.com. You'll be amazed at just how a few daily adjustments can add years of a healthy life for you. Again, download it for free, sapiopodcast.com.